All right. Well, who's ready for week two of our series, Wayfinding? You guys ready for that? We kicked off this series last week. If you weren't here, we're just in week two. If you missed it, you can go check it out online, on our Facebook, on Kairos webpage, or even on YouTube. I'm excited about this series and where God's going to lead us. As it is, we talked about how this was birthed out of an amazing theological movie called Moana. No, it was just a quote, and that quote led me to what we're talking about. Knowing where we're going by remembering what God's done, and knowing who we are by remembering who God is. And it's so important in our lives that we keep God at the forefront, no matter what we're going through. Last week, I told you we'd be kind of voyaging through the journey of Acts, and really through the life of Paul. And last week, we kind of kicked it off where Paul's journey started, but we started with a character that led into it by the name of Stephen. Stephen ended up being the first martyr, and Saul was at the moment when he died, and it kind of leads into Saul's story. If you know Saul's story at all, if you know about what took place, here's what we know about Saul. Saul was on the wrong side, he was going the wrong way, and he was doing the wrong things. And ultimately, what Saul needed, what we all need, is for the wayfinder to show up, for Jesus to show up and redirect our lives. As I was reading through Saul's story in Acts chapter 8 and then into 9, I saw three things that I just quickly alluded to, but that I kind of want to unpack and how I saw those in Saul's life, but I believe they're the same for us. And so I want to read through this story and kind of point those things out and then unpack each of them. So in Acts, chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, and this is what we're looking at and what we're going to find is this is what I'm calling Saul's wrong affirmation. And here's what it says. Right after Stephen does his monologue and preaches the gospel and is making everyone angry, all the religious leaders, we get into Acts chapter 8, and Saul, it's what it says, Saul agreed with putting Stephen to death. And so there's this affirmation of this man who they think is wrong and speaking blasphemies towards God, and so Saul agrees to putting him to death. And after that, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. So Saul's wrong affirmation put him on the wrong side. And then it moves into Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Something else that I saw it was really Saul's wrong action. So he affirms what was taking place, he agrees with what's taking place, and then he continues to act on that. So we see Saul's wrong actions and that he was doing the wrong things. And it says, meanwhile, verse 1 of chapter 9, Saul was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. So he affirmed the wrong things. He's on the wrong side. He's acting in the wrong way, right? Doing the wrong things. And then the third thing I saw, it's in the very next verse, is Saul's wrong aspiration. What he aspired to do, what he aspired to accomplish. Saul was going the wrong way. Acts 9, verse 1 and 2. He went to the high priest. He requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So Paul wanted to take what he was doing. He felt it was the right thing to do, that he was persecuting and imprisoning and murdering Christians. And he's like, I need to take this out. This needs to be farther reaching. They were scattered. I need to go grab them. And so he was doing the wrong things, going the wrong way, and he was on the wrong side. And this is when the wayfinder shows up, right? Jesus shows up, and he rejects Saul's wrong way and redirects him to God's right way. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. It says, as he, Saul, traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting, he replied. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So Paul's headed in his direction. Jesus shows up and says, you're going the wrong way. I need to redirect you. And who Saul was, how he was acting, what he aspired to do, it was the opposite. It was counter to who God called him to be, what God wanted him to do, and where God was taking him. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus shows up, and Jesus redirects who Saul was, right? He redirects who Saul affirms. He redirects who and how Saul was acting. And then he redirects what Saul had aspired to do. He redirects the entire course of Saul's life. And so today, the question that I want to pose to you as we go through this is, do you find yourself currently on the wrong side or doing the wrong things or going in the wrong direction? Because just like Saul, Jesus showed up and redirected him. And so that means that Jesus wants to redirect who we are, how we are acting, and what we aspire to do. These three things are so crucial as we think about, man, going in the direction of God, about joining the wayfinder in the way that he has for us. Now, you know this. Maybe you haven't experienced this yet, and maybe this will be, I don't know, maybe it'll be new to you, but there will come a moment in everyone's life where they will have an encounter with Jesus. And he'll show up telling them, saying to them, hey, who you are affirming, what you are doing, the direction you are going is the opposite of who I made you, of what I have for you, and what I desire for you to accomplish. And so when Jesus shows up, we all have a choice, right? We have a choice. Continue to pursue the way that we want to go, the things that we want to do, and the affirmations that we want, the worldly affirmations. We can continue pursuing all of those things, or in that moment, will we submit and surrender all of ourselves, all that we desire, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And that's what we find take place here in Saul's life. This past week, me and my kids, well, my family were sitting at the dinner table, and we love dinner time. It's one time where we all get together and just get to be around the dinner table. Some kids eat faster than others, and so we try to, you know, keep them there, but it was great because we all were there, and we were all sitting, and we were all just chatting, and we decided to just start talking about the past weekend. A lot of my kids are a little bit older, and so they're sitting through service, and I decided to bring up our talk it over questions that we use for discussion groups, and we just started going through those questions and just asking certain things. And one of the things was like, you know, where did you see God show up? Where have you seen God show up in your life? Where have you seen God provide in your life? Where have you seen something happen and you weren't really sure why it was happening, but God took that thing and made it a great thing? And in that moment, I began to just look back through my life, and there are so many. But there was one time, and I was thinking about a job that I had, and it was a decent job, right? It paid the bills. But one day, I got a call, and they had to let me go. And so I lost my job, and this is in the midst of starting a new family. We just got married. We just bought a home. My wife's pregnant, and I lost my job. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but that's a terrifying place to be, right? And it's one of those things, and like in this moment, I'll be honest and say, like, I wasn't pursuing a relationship with God or God or anything like that. I wasn't in church, but I remember just pulling over and being like, I used to have a relationship with God, and I remember saying, God, what is happening? What is going on? Why are you doing this? Now, what was really cool, and this is what I share with my kids, I did lose my job, but a week later, I had a new one, and it was a better one. Now, in my previous job, I would look at it and say it was just a purposeless pursuit. It wasn't really leading anything. It was helping me make money. It was helping me gain knowledge. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't for God. Now, I got my new job. I worked there for 5 years, and I gained knowledge and I gained experience, but even in that job, I still wasn't seeking God, seeking his will for my life, seeking his way for my life. I still feel like it was a bit purposeless and selfish in a way. Yes, providing for my family. Yes, I needed to do that. But that's all that it was for me. I was not working and providing and leading my family for God. And what I came to realize is that the jobs weren't the issue, right? It's not the job wasn't the problem. It was the pursuit and the passion of my heart for God that was the issue. And in this moment, in this season, while I was at this new job for 5 years, what God was doing in that time is he was preparing me. The Holy Spirit was guiding my steps to the path that God desired. And ultimately, that led me to a job at a church, that led me to be a youth pastor, that led me to here. Now, I share all that to kind of show a similarity just between how God will redirect our lives. In Saul's case, it happened pretty quickly, right? Got knocked off his horse. He was blinded. Not the case for me. It was a little bit more slow going. But here's what I realized. It was still a rejection of my actions, my affirmations, and my aspirations. God was rejecting the way that I was going, which was leading towards sin and hopelessness, and he redirected me. And he did it slowly. God slowly opened my eyes to his way of life for me. The who, the how, and the what he desired for me. And this is a beautiful picture here, because he slowly opened my eyes to something so much greater. And I look back to Saul's story and how he was blinded. He was quickly blinded. What was he blinded to? His old life, his old aspirations, right? Those wrong affirmations and actions and aspirations. He was blinded. Acts 9:8-9. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him to Damascus. And he was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat or drink. So interesting, in this moment, Jesus shows up and just rattles him, right? He says, you've been blind. You are now blind, but you have been blind to what I have desired to do. I believe that Jesus blinded Saul so that he could finally see. First and foremost, that he would see Jesus, right? See Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and then he would see the way and the purposes and the truth and the direction that Jesus had for his life. It goes on in verse 18, at once something like scales fell from his eyes, he regained his sight, and then he got baptized. You know about this. This is putting the old life to death and being raised to new life in Christ. And after that, he took some food and he regained his strength. What I began to realize as I read this is that Saul was already blind long before Jesus physically blinded him. Jesus had to blind Saul to his selfish ambitions in order to redirect him. And I think in our lives, this is true. Often it takes the rejection of our direction to have our eyes open to the direction that Jesus has for us. It's rejection of the way that we're going. It's a rejection of the things that we desire to do. It's direction of our selfishness. It's a rejection of that. And he opens our eyes to his direction. And maybe in your life, the direction that you're taking, it's not a bad one. I don't think there was anything bad about the jobs that I had. It just wasn't the right one. Or maybe, just maybe, the direction you're desiring to go right now is not meant to happen in this moment. It may be for another time. Now, this is such a great truth. A redirection now may bring you full circle to the direction that you desired, but when you follow Jesus there, the outcome will be so much better. It will be so much grander than what you thought or what you were thinking, and you'll be prepared for it. I was thinking about this in my life, and I've seen this in many ways, but I was thinking about two big ones. One I talked about recently, because we just celebrated our 6-year anniversary, but I was thinking about the rejection of the Kairos location, where I had thought God was leading me to start a church in Auburndale. And in that moment, like we moved my family here, and then I'm reaching out, and I'm trying to, you know, get a place for us to start meeting, and it's rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection. And you start to get rejection after rejection after rejection when you start to say, okay, let me rethink this whole thing, right? But it wasn't just that God was rejecting what I was doing. He was rejecting where I was trying to do it. Right? He was saying, there's a place that's better. This may look good. This may look good to you. This may seem like a good location. This may seem like a good opportunity. This may like seem like a good financial deal to take place, but there's something better. And so he redirected us and opened my eyes to the plan that he had for us, ultimately leading us to Chain Lakes Complex in Winter Haven, ultimately leading us to Chain Lakes Elementary, ultimately leading us here. And I've continued to follow him in that direction. And it's been a wild journey, because there's a lot of unknowns. So that's one time. And I'm so thankful. Me and some of the staff were talking about this the other day, just about if I would have pressed forward in the direction that I wanted to go or where I wanted to plant, how different all of this would be. And would it have been as fruitful? And would it have been what God desired? It would be so different. The second one's a bit more personal. Not that the church isn't personal to me, but it's a little bit harder of a rejection because it carries so much weight. And I think all the way back to when my wife had our first child, and it wasn't easy for her to get pregnant. And then through the last 17 years, she hasn't gotten pregnant. And I'm gonna call it a rejection of pregnancy back then. And that was hard. And there was fears there. And I know it was hard for my wife as well. But when I look back and I say, okay, in God saying no to this then, what it led me to was so amazing. Because in his rejection of being pregnant then, he led me and my wife to open our eyes and our hearts to adoption and foster care. And so over the last 17 years, he has brought children into my family and grown my family. Maybe not in the direction that we were thinking, but in one that was so much grander. And the amount of kids that we've been able to love on is so many more. It's such a powerful thing. And then, again, that's why I shared. Sometimes the direction that you desire to go just may not be the right time. And in 17 years, my wife's pregnant, right? And it's just like, here you go. The work that I had for you, that's done. Now let's enter into a new phase. And it's hard to go through that rejection, right? Because you desire it so much with your heart, and you want to go this way, and it's what you want, and it's what you're thinking. But God says, I have something better. I have something better for you. Here's what I've learned. Even in knowing these things that I know and seeing God work and move, discerning our direction versus God's direction is always hard. It's so hard. Of course, there's our selfish desires that push against what he's trying to do. I think our eyes oftentimes trick us and deceive us into following the world's ways over following his ways. It's hard and will often be hard. But what I've come to realize, though it may be hard, if we really want to follow God's direction for our lives, it will require full submission and surrender to him. The obedience to say yes, even when we don't understand, even when we don't want to go, even when it may mean that it will be a tougher journey and that there may be suffering along the way and trials and troubles. That's what Saul experienced time and time again. And Jesus even told him, you're gonna go and do this and you will suffer. And he did it anyway. Now I was thinking about just Saul's life. And like, honestly, I believe that Saul felt that he was serving the Lord. Before Jesus got a hold of him, I believe that what he felt in his heart, that what he was doing was serving the Lord. But in the end, Jesus said, you're persecuting me. And Saul's eyes were open to it. Right? He felt he was heading in God's direction. He grew up learning and memorizing scripture and knowing God's word and knowing all the laws and upholding all these things. He felt like he was going in the right direction, but in the end, he was going the opposite direction. He had the knowledge. He had the passion. But he used it in the wrong way and in the pursuit of the wrong things. However, once he was blinded by Jesus, blinded to his wrong direction and then shown the right one, that is when he was actually able to lead people to Jesus, when he was able to go in the right direction with God. Acts 9, verse 19. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some days. Immediately, he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues, proclaiming that he is the Son of God. This is so powerful because he went from persecuting Jesus and Jesus' followers to then proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. You see, when we go his way and we act on his behalf and we agree with his truth and aspire to accomplish his work, here's what it brings. It brings peace, it brings hope, it brings joy, it brings help, it brings new sight, it brings resurrection life, it brings redirection in our life, but not just in our lives. Man, we get to then show it to others through our lives. Where Paul was bringing hurt, condemnation, and destruction, Jesus showed up and just completely redirected his life to bring the opposite, right? To bring hope, to bring healing, and to bring help, and to bring redirection in every life. Acts 9 goes on, verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and increased in numbers. Because Saul was redirected. You know, maybe today you're blind in one of the ways that Paul was. Blind to who or what you are affirming. Blind to how you are acting. Or blind to your own self-serving aspirations. So let me just maybe just prod a little bit here. Who do you find yourself wrongly affirming? Is it those who will affirm and agree with your personal pursuits? Is it those who accept your sinful choices or sinful lifestyle? Is it those who will join you in talking badly about others to make yourself feel better? Is it those who only agree with you and never challenge you? Is it just with yourself, never considering or taking the suggestion or the direction from others? Are you just affirming your feelings, your opinions, and your upbringing? Those things can quickly lead away from God's direction for your life. Or maybe the next question would be, how do you find yourself wrongly acting? Do you find that your conversations, circumstances, relationships are filled with negativity and pessimism, regardless of where you're at, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, with your spouse, or with your children? Is it filled with negativity and pessimism? Do you find yourself belittling others to make yourself feel better? Do you find that you're acting out of personal feeling or conviction without gospel truth to back it up? Do you desire to tear others down to feel better about yourself? Are you pursuing accomplishments regardless of who you hurt or hinder along the way? Are you living in old, antiquated traditions, whether it's family or religion, without wavering, never stopping to think that maybe what you were taught was wrong, or that it wasn't perfect, or maybe that what worked in a season or for a generation no longer works now? Maybe it's forcing our personal convictions on others, and I say personal convictions, where we take our personal convictions and we just say, this is what the Bible says, but it's not really what the Bible says, it's just what God told you to do, but you're trying to project that on the others because you have a hard time with it. Anyway, we do that. We do that so often. Maybe it's resisting change. What God is trying to do, the redirection that he has for your life, and it costs relationships, it costs you personal growth, and it costs you spiritual growth. How do you find yourself wrongly acting? We're going to be the third one. What do you find yourself wrongly aspiring to accomplish? I won't be as specific with these ones. Be a bit more broad. It could be financial gain. It could be promotional prestige. It could be material things or material investments. It could be kind of just having this physical prowess. Maybe it's just having your pride praised. These things are so easy to aspire to. And the enemy whispers in our ear, and the world whispers in our ear, and it says, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. This is where you're supposed to go. And it ends up being the exact opposite direction of what God desired for you. You see, when we head in the opposite direction of Jesus, often our journey is just wrought with strife and suffering, selfishness, and ultimately it leads to death. See, our selfish pursuits lead us in the opposite direction of Jesus. And here's what I'll say. If we aren't following him, there's a good chance we're following sin. And sin leads to death. Yes, we know spiritual death. But sin also leads to relational death. And financial death. And emotional death. And aspirational death. It leads to death. If we aren't going God's way, we're going the wrong way. And oftentimes it takes Jesus to show up, to knock us on our butt, and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Let me show you the right way. Let me give you new sight. I wonder, do you find yourself headed down a path that is charted by you, dependent on you, and ultimately leading to your own achievement and success? In the same vein, have you recently experienced rejection of the things that you were desiring or aspiring to do, of the things that you were doing? Do you feel that you were on the right path? And maybe you're confused about the current rejection. I think Saul was confused, right? When he got knocked off his horse and he heard a loud noise and saw, like, I'm guessing he was confused, but I think the same is true for us. When we're going a certain direction and we think it's the right direction for God and he comes in and says, nope. You go, I had it wrong. And sometimes when we realize that we had it wrong, it's really hard to admit that we had it wrong. Our pride gets in the way and keeps us from moving in his direction. And we just keep pressing forward because we don't want to lose our self-image. We don't want to backtrack and go back and apologize to all these people that maybe we hurt along the way. I think In this moment, if this happens to us, if we're going a direction and Jesus shows up and says, nope, wrong direction, it often can lead to us feeling stuck. And we talked about being stuck last week. And maybe when he says, hey, this is their direction, we feel ashamed to move in God's direction because of what we used to do. Or we're unsure of our decisions. However, here's the truth. When we are shown grace in our mistakes, in that grace, we can move in God's direction. Like we move in God's direction because of grace. He redirects our life through grace. Imagine being Saul. Imagine the amount of shame and regret and awfulness that Saul felt from all the hurt and suffering that he had caused. And Jesus says, hey, the people you were persecuting, I want you to come and I want you to lead them. Imagine walking into that room. I mean, you can read about it in the Bible. You can almost feel the tension and just the worry and the anxiety from the believers towards him. And I know he's feeling that and giving it to himself. He's ashamed of what he did. And what happens is Jesus wants to redeem us and redirect us, but we allow the enemy to talk to us and lie to us and say we can never be redeemed. God can't use you in that way. You messed up too bad. I'm sure these feelings for Saul were overwhelming. More than enough to keep him isolated. For him to just say, you know what? I did a bad thing. I'm going to go just live the rest of my life in seclusion. I can't face anybody. I can't talk to those people. I can't do this thing that Jesus called me to. I'm not good enough. I'm not the right one. Where Saul may have had those thoughts, God says, I can use your past for my glory. Oh, what a powerful promise that is. You know, Paul never forgot who he used to be. Time and time again, you'll hear him sharing it. I don't think he wanted anybody to forget who he used to be, how he used to act, what he was aspiring to accomplish. I think he continually looked back, right, to who he was and how he acted and what he desired. And as he looked back, he thanked God for the rejection and the redirection, right? Where he's going, where he's headed, where God is leading him, he remembers what God did to get him there. And he's thankful. I want to read to you from 1 Timothy, chapter 1, 12 and 6. This is a letter that Paul, Saul, wrote. He says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. Here's what he says, one who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an arrogant man, but I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them. That's such a powerful statement. If he saved me, if he chose me, if he's using me, if he redeemed me, if he redirected me, he can do the same for you. Goes on, I receive mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. The enemy says our past, our mistakes, the things that we've done, we can't tell people, we can't show people, we can't show up around these people because of it, because they will shun us, they will push us away. And God says, that exact thing that you went through, I'm gonna use it to bring people to me. It's his grace, it's his mercy, it's his love. Listen, if you're still alive, it means that you haven't gone so far in the opposite direction that God can't redirect you. You see, no matter the distance that you've created between you and God, his grace can cover it. No matter how much hurt, suffering, and pain that you have caused, his love can cover it. No matter how unworthy and unashamed you feel, feeling like the worst of sinners, his forgiveness can cover it. Listen, Jesus' outstretched hands on the cross cover the longitude and the latitude of your sin. Do you understand? It's as far as the east is the west, the north from the south. His grace can cover it. His love can cover it. His mercy can cover it. His forgiveness can cover it. Saul went from persecuting Christians to preaching and praising about Jesus. He went from a false identity, a wrong direction, a selfish aspirations, to a redeemed identity, righteous direction, and godly aspirations. The redemption of our wrong direction is always and can always be made right by our Redeemer. Now he comes in, and Jesus, what does he reject? Not you. He rejects your sin. He rejects your waywardness. He rejects your disobedience. He rejects your selfish ambitions. He confronts and condemns any sinful action. And as he does that, he then takes you and pulls you out of that and redirects you into his way, in his truth, in his life. It's such a powerful reminder. Jesus rejects our sinful direction, and he always will. But through his resurrection, what does he do? He redeems us and he redirects us. And so in these moments where you feel that rejection, man, just be hopeful that where there's rejection, Jesus is causing some redirection. Where he's rejecting your way, your sin, your disobedience, there is redirection to something greater. There is more hope, there is more peace, there is more joy, there is more than imaginable things that you could have ever even thought of, or even aspired to or dreamed of. That's what life in Jesus does. He takes our worst and he makes it his best. For his glory, not ours. You see, when we stop going our way and we go his way, his love, his grace, his forgiveness, it covers the distance. And we get to set off with fresh eyes, right? This new perspective of who Jesus is, of what he did for us, and what he wants to accomplish through us. I'm asking that you would bow your heads, close your eyes. This is tough sometimes. In the world we live in, culture says is right, going the right direction is tough. But then you factor in our own selfish actions or aspirations. And you factor in maybe the things that were done to us, right? Trauma, how we were raised, tradition. And it gets a bit muddy, doesn't it? And that's what sin does. It just, it muddies the direction that God has for us. And but through Jesus, through his word, through his spirit, there is clarity. Through his people, there is clarity. And something tells me today you're struggling with some kind of direction in your life. Wrong actions, wrong affirmations, wrong aspirations. I don't know what it is. Where do you see Jesus in it? Was it something that you felt he called you to do? Or is it something that you just decided to pursue and brought him along with you? Like I said, discerning this is hard. But just because it's hard doesn't mean we ignore it, or that we just keep pressing forward. While God's grace and love and forgiveness will cover the distance, the further away you get from his direction, the more hurt, the more pain, the more suffering, the more regret, the more shame that you will feel, and maybe you will cause. God saw his life. It's just a powerful reminder that we can never go too far from you, and that you can always use us. You can use our past. You can use our mistakes. And I pray that someone hears that today. I pray that where you offered them forgiveness, that today they would forgive themselves. I pray that they would stop walking in shame and regret. Your redeemed, redirected life is not one of shame and regret, but of joy and hope. May they lift their head up today and see you. See a father that has open arms for them. See a son that will, and Jesus that will walk with them, alongside them. Pray for the person that has a very hard decision to make. It's one that they have been challenging for some time, pushing against because of the change that it'll mean. God, sometimes you redirect us and it's hard. So I pray for strength, and I pray for courage, and I pray for boldness. But ultimately, I pray for full surrender to your will and your way, that they would just rely on you. Lastly, God, I lift up someone today who had a desire long ago, but the door was shut, or the direction was rejected. And the longer they get from it, the more they lose hope. God, will you just, through the Spirit today, will you tell them that they're not meant to live in what didn't happen, but they're meant to look forward to what can happen? And maybe, just maybe, if they would let go of the past, and they can step into the future that you have for them, one that will absolutely just blow their mind. things you will do. But they've got to let go. God, would you open our eyes today to what you have for us, to where you're leading us. May we continually, fervently seek you to find answers, to find discernment in your word and in prayer. Put people around us to help guide us. The desires of our hearts, the hurts that we feel, the rejection that we have experienced, would you move us to share it with others so that they can speak into it? Ultimately, God, would you just give us a trust in you, a trust in your ways, because we know who you are, we know what you've done. A trust that says, we believe you can do it again. God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for moving today. Thank you for speaking to specific situations today. You are good and you are gracious, and we thank you for your redemption and that you take our worst and you make it your best. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.